Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome to episode 13 of Please Advise. I'm Malls and I'm very hungover. I'm going to be honest with you right up front. I can barely form a sentence. That said, this should be a very fun pod. And also, I want to just tell you right now that at some point, I'm probably going to smoke shoes, which is a secret code word for marijuana. So I guess it's not a secret code anymore. But just know that I'm going to smoke some shoes at some point. My laces are going to be pretty tight. Okay, so our guest today is Laura Shainhalls, who is one of the brilliant people behind White Girl Problems. They have had, like, what? You guys have had two New York Times bestselling books.
We have one New York Times bestselling book, and then the other one's just, like, selling really great, but didn't make the New York Times cut.
Are you sensitive about that?
I mean, that hurt a little, but I'll get over it.
That's very exciting. What's it like to write a book, girl?
It's fun.
I'm clicking a pen. Christina just pulled it out of my hand.
That was taken away. Writing a book is fun. It's challenging at times, but it's rewarding because people read it and they love it. And then it becomes a New York Times bestseller. And then I get to brag about that for the rest of my life.
Okay. I'm not going to ask you interview-style questions anymore. Because I realized that I just am like, so what's it like to write a book? It's the stupidest thing anyone's ever asked anyone. I'm just realizing, by the way, how much you look like Elsie from The Hills. Like, I've seen your face a million times. I never, like, today you really look like Elsie from The Hills.
I should have given you that on the list of things that I don't want to talk about. <You don't> No one's ever said that before. People have told me I look like Tara Reid before.
No.
And that, the Elsie thing is kind of on par.
Yeah. No, you do look like Elsie. And I, like, please take that as a compliment, because okay. Lauren Conrad's a style icon. You don't want to look like...
I guess it's better than looking like Lo. Because yeah. What's she up to?
I know. I miss Lo. I actually read... I loved Lo because... Well, I loved her on Laguna Beach season one because she was like... You know, she just didn't take herself seriously.
Yeah.
But then, like, she was kind of mean on The Hills, I thought.
She was. And she turned a corner and then she got too big for her britches is what happened.
Yeah. Well, you know, she had that white Jetta that she used to, she got for graduation. And I heard she went to college and became a big cokehead. It's like, I guess what I heard. Like, it was a rumor that I heard. I think I Googled it or something. And I read on some message board that Lo became a cokehead in college.
It all starts with a white Jetta.
Yeah. And that is true.
It's true.
Yeah. So, who do you think I look like? No, I'm just kidding.
What's it like to look like Lauren Conrad? She's also a best-selling author.
Yeah,
so
she
we have
is.
That in common.
Hard Candy. And that
wait,
was her
is
book.
She a best-selling author?
I think she
I
is.
I gotta Google
I think
that.
She wrote like three books or something. Christina's Googling it in a frenzy.
I will love life if I'm a bestseller and Elsie is not.
Okay. Oh, okay. Oh, we're not allowed to talk. Okay. Oh, sorry. We can't wait.
For the Google.
Oh, she is. Okay. So okay, we've confirmed it. Lauren Conrad is a style icon and great. Best New York Times bestselling author. All right. I'm on one, you guys. So just so you know, like, this is, you know, whenever I say, like, make jokes about how well put together I am and how great my life is, I just want you to know that I'm a fucking mess and a shit show. And the fact that you trust me with the problems in all of your horrendous lives. I mean, honestly, like, some of you guys just have, like, horrendous lives. I'm, like, shocked by it. means a lot to me. Laura, are you ready to answer questions about, like, scandals and cheating and like all sorts of like crazy
absolutely
stuff.
Bring our it own. On
girl
the it's more like, scandals the better.
Yeah, I know. Wait,
I love sadness and darkness, so I'm like totally ready.
Can we talk about Vanderpump Rules for a second?
Yeah.
Okay.
We can talk about that for a lot of seconds.
Okay. So wait, just real quickly, I need you to like tell me like where you rank the characters, like who's your favorite, who's your least fave. Like, do you miss Laura Lee from Jax's like relationship?
I live for Laura Lee, but I feel like her acting career might be like taking off, and that's why she left the show, because she was like an actress.
Yeah, well,
she's had roles.
She was in We're the Millers. But yeah. Then I Googled furiously one night, you know, I just like, because I was really upset about her like addiction history and the way that Jax like dumped her outside of an NA meeting.
Relationship. I really live for them. I need to rewatch actually Laura Lee's arc on Vanderpump Rules.
Oh, it's worth a rewatch, yeah. For sure. And one of the things that I found out about Laura Lee is that she might not be doing too well anymore.
Oh, fuck.
She definitely is back on the sauce because I found her Instagram and she drinks a lot.
Oh,
and
my
I remember,
God.
Yeah, she was
I'm
saying,
gonna follow her. I'm gonna shoot her a follow.
In her NA meeting, she said that like sometimes I think I can just have a glass of wine and be like a normal person, and then I realize like I can't. And like her whole Instagram is her getting like shit faced with her friends. So that's not funny. But
so she's back to thinking that she can just have a glass of wine, yeah. Casually.
And then regarding her acting career, one of the things, so she played a stripper in We're the Millers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I read that it might have been role research, but I read that like she was spotted a few months after she shot We're the Millers, which is weird. At Cheetah's, which is a strip club.
Dancing?
Yeah. Well, she was.
Or just there.
She wanted to be. Oh, Christina's correcting me. It's a bikini bar. Sorry. I didn't realize you were the strip club. Oh, bikini Slippy bar. Goes. That's why, right? Slippy loves Cheetah's. Our friend Slippy. But yeah, so she was like trying to figure out how she could apply.
Wait, she really was?
That's what I read on the internet.
Oh, my God.
Which means it's true.
All right. Things have taken a dark turn for Laura Lee. God bless her little soul. But I hope she can come back to Vanderpump Rules. Maybe they'll have her back.
I know.
As far as like my ranking of the cast goes, I think right now Sandoval is my favorite person.
Oh, interesting choice.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm kind of in. I'm really like team Sandoval, Ariana.
Yeah, I love Ariana.
Love them. I just had to unfollow Jax from Instagram because he's like posting way too much stuff about his like menswear line.
No. Oh, he has
I'm
a menswear
so unclear.
Line?
Yeah, called
oh,
Excalibur.
His sweater collection.
It's a chunky knit cardigans.
Oh, wow.
And he uses the hashtag, well, it's called Excalibur, but then there's also a hashtag like called My Society, but spelled MIGH Society. And I don't know what that means, but I think he's trying to make it happen.
Oh,
and I'm over it. I can't support
I get
it anymore.
It. Like High Society.
But like My Society.
Oh, man. Jax is so misled.
No, it is like a mess. And I was like, I can't.
Yeah, no, I
go
can't.
Back to like posting videos of you and Sandoval and Schwartz in Vegas. Like that's what I want to
like,
see.
He like fucks for money.
Like a gigolo?
I think that like yeah, like I think that I've heard that he fucks for money.
Interesting.
But like, you know.
Who's like representing that?
I don't know. It's something I read on the internet. I don't know who sets up the
deals. You think
deals.
He's like independently
yeah,
just like
I think
fucking
that,
for money?
I bet that now that he's been on the show, like a lot of horny housewives like want to like fuck him. And
oh,
also,
I'm sure there's
you know,
no shortage of people that want to fuck Jax.
That's disgusting.
It
that
is disgusting. I feel like I kind of go back and forth sometimes.
You would fuck
right
Jax.
Now I'm off.
Girl,
I would not fuck Jax right now.
And all you would get all of the herpes.
I know.
We talk about herpes.
It's like Hep C.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's a Hep C journey.
Do you think Stassi got anything from him?
A TBD.
I know.
I can't imagine what I need to rewatch. Actually, I'm going to do that this week. Rewatch all of season one of Vanderpump Rules because
yeah.
I need to revisit their relationship because I cannot conceive of them being together at this point in time.
Well, Stassi's like gone. Like
she's off trying to be a talk about style icons.
Yeah, no.
Stassi is really trying to make a splash in the fashion industry.
Have you read her thing on Van?
On the blog.
I fucking hate Pandora Vanderpump. I don't know if you know this. I hate her.
She is a... I did not know that.
I hate her.
What's
She's
to like?
She's such a little moose. Like, I hate her. She's like, when she came out of her, like, out of the dressing room in her wedding gown, and she was like, Mom, don't cry. And her mom's like, I'm not going to cry. Like, she's like, who the fuck said anything about me crying? Like, she's... And she's so full of herself. It's like... Bitch.
It's like, what have you done?
I know. She Pandy? Has her lifestyle website, which yeah. is, what's it called?
Pandora's Box? What is it called?
Oh my God, it is called something like Pandora's Box. It's terrible. So.
It's bad. I tried to read it and like get into it and I couldn't, which is saying a lot because I can get into some shit on the internet. And that was just not. I tried to read Stassi's column and yeah. then I tried to read Sheena's column.
Yeah.
Neither column did much for me.
Stassi loves... Zara, I've noticed that about her.
Yeah.
She's a big Zara person. She's really big on like the high low, mm-hmm. Informing people that you can pay like a lot of money for some things and then a little bit of money for other things.
Revolutionary. She's like blowing people's minds left and right.
And her bio on that site was like, I love like red nail polish and like gold jewelry. And I'm like, girl, you're killing it.
I like what they're all trying to do in like establishing their personal brands. And really the only person that isn't establishing her personal brand is Kristen.
I know. Well, that's your girl, right?
Well, yeah. We have like DM'd on Twitter and like, I got her number. I texted her and stuff.
Heaven. Did she text back?
Yeah, she texted back. But honestly, I just need to like follow up and set a drink date with
her. Okay, good. Yeah, you need to. And like, you need to like really get that friendship secure so that like.
There's a lot of networking.
Like, yeah.
That can be done.
Well,
I,
if I ever have a wedding or something, I want to be able to invite her. So like, I need her home address.
For sure.
If you could do that.
Yeah, we should just all three go get drinks.
I would love that. Do you think she works at Sir still?
She definitely works at Sir. Okay. I got the scoop because I also matched with Peter Madrigal on Tinder.
Yeah, Ryan told me that.
Yeah, and then we ended up like exchanging Tinder messages and met up for lunch.
No.
Which for him, I think, turned out to be like more of a networking opportunity. Not really a date, I don't think, in his eyes.
Really?
Yeah. He had a script. He emailed it to me. I haven't read it yet, but sure he asked me if I wanted to be a co-writer on his script with him.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Just so you know, I have a lot of things going on right now.
That's huge, girl.
There's lots of things are happening for me in a big way. Hollywood.
Is it like a rom-com, do you think?
It's like a I think it's like a bro comedy.
Ugh, gross.
Like with a courtroom element.
Yeah.
It opens in a courtroom. I did read like the first page, so.
Was it funny? It was?
No.
Oh.
I mean, yes. It is? Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I don't want to make a judgment now because I haven't read it really in
full.
Okay,
that's real. That's real. I did see Let's Be Cops. It was pretty funny. Did you see that?
I didn't see it.
Mm-mm. It was. I'm like, speaking of bro comedy, is like, I just normally I don't enjoy them, but I did really like that movie.
Oh, cool.
Good. Yeah, it was just like a fun movie recommendation. It will have been out of theaters for like 8 weeks by the time this airs because we're very behind, but it's really good.
Well, maybe I'll just get it on demand eventually.
Rent it on Blu-ray, girl. oh, man. All right. So let's take some calls, I guess.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Good luck, guys.
Hi, Malls. My name's Alice. I'm 23 years old. I am obsessed with your podcast. I recently found it. Okay. So my situation, I've been with my boyfriend now for about 3.5 years and totally great. We're doing very well. We're like growing together, whatever. My problem is his ex-girlfriend, they were together for like 4 years, like through high school, like went through a lot of shit together, whatever. And he hasn't really like gone away. And I've never been in a long-term relationship. So maybe it's because I'm new to this, but I just don't feel like it's super respectful to have like your ex like in your life at that point when there's not really like a huge reason. He just like he likes being on good terms, which is fine, but like they'll go on like dog play dates together and like whatever. She's like kind of involved with like his mom and stuff. It just makes me like kind of pissed off, and I feel like the crazy girlfriend is like super jealous. Like, I'm not jealous. I don't think she's gonna like steal him from me, but like it just makes me really upset every time I see like her name come up on his phone and shit. So hopefully you can help me out with that. I definitely want to get your take on it. So please advise. Thank you.
Hey, Alice, what's up? Thanks for listening. I have a lot of thoughts about this. Lara, do you want to start?
Yeah, I can start. I'll just start by throwing out my first reaction is that when you say you're not necessarily jealous, but you are upset, I think upset equals jealousy. I think you are a little jealous. And yeah. I think that that's natural.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Tinkerbell was jealous. Look, like, I just think I honestly... I would be the same. I would be rip shit. First of all, you're 23, so and you're gonna break up. I just like flash forward, like
yeah, I'm like
sad. I hate to say it, but like there's just you're not gonna be with. I doubt it, right?
Yeah. So what? 3.5 years they've been together since 19. You're 19, and
yeah.
Mm-mm.
It's gonna. I mean, like I hate to say it, but also it sounds like he's like a serial monogamous. Like he was in a relationship all throughout high school with this girl. Now, the high school of it is the only thing that makes me say that, like, all right, then they probably were more, like, playmates than they were, like, in an actual relationship because you're, like, adults, like, that have, like, spending money and live, like, not with your parents and can do things without asking for permission. But I do completely agree with you that it's, like, not right. Like, I'd be pissed. I'd be rip shit. Like, there are girls I know that have, like, kissed Derek that, like, don't even get me started. Like, I honestly, I mean, he knows not even to say certain names around me because I'll just lose my damn mind. I don't like it. And we have to. We had a really good conversation about it. We always, like, toast to our exes because we're, like, if all of those people hadn't, like, fucked us over or been weirdos or taught us what we didn't want or, like, hurt us, then we would have never found each other and each other. Like that's maybe, you know, maybe this girl is like secretly a lesbian or like maybe like she like taught him about himself. Like there's also like
sounds like she still is teaching him about himself.
See, yeah, that's the thing I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like a variety. I mean, there's a variety of like potential like curveballs, like game changers that you really don't know about here, but either way, I'd be pissed.
Yeah. I think it's okay to just own that it does, that you are jealous of the time they spend together and that you are upset. And that's like normal and fine. I don't think like accusing them of anything is going to take you anywhere. But also it's okay to feel like upset about them hanging out. And he should understand that where you're coming from. But then also it's like they are high school friends. And, like, I'm friends with a lot of guy high school friends.
Yeah.
Even guys that I've, like, kissed or maybe, like, dated in high school.
Yeah.
Still, like, in touch with them. But that doesn't mean that I have any interest in, like, continuing that type of romantic relationship. So it's just different when you go through, like, high school with someone.
Yeah, you're right. It's the high school factor. I was going to say I don't, like, stay friends with exes. Like, that's not my thing. Because I'm like, you never really were friends. Like, you were people that wanted to fuck.
Yeah.
Said that before on the pod. But, like... You know, I also don't like the mom thing. You mentioned that. I don't understand the closeness with the mom. Again, like, that's where I have to be, like, high school.
Seems like a manipulation, the closeness with the mom.
The doggy play dates.
Doggy play dates, I'm like, whatever, I don't have a dog, so.
Oh, see, that seems emotional to me. Like, moms feel emotional, dogs, like, taking a dog out to a park with someone, that seems like emotional intimacy to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, basically there is no answer other than I'd be fucking pissed too. I hope you tell him your opinion about this. And if he like pushes back on it, I don't think you're out of line for saying something. And if he pushes back on it, I think that he is not being respectful of your feelings. I'm not saying that this girl has to leave his life entirely, but like.
But maybe you can do group activities together and then you can get a sense of their vibe. So like you can say, voice your opinion about being a little like iffy on the two of them hanging out. But then if you all hang out together and that feels comfortable and good, maybe you'll be soothed and you'll be like not so worried about them like spending one-on-one time together.
Right.
That's like an evolved way of handling it. You could also just like freak the fuck out and then like break up with your boyfriend.
I mean, she's 23. She's probably gonna freak the fuck out.
Yeah.
I'm like 30 and I'm still like borderline.
You're
like,
about to freak out.
I'm like, yeah. I mean, to be honest, I don't freak out, but I have battled with jealousy my entire life because I'm an insecure, sensitive artist. And so I totally understand it, but it's okay because you guys are probably going to break up in a couple years anyway, and you'll like find someone else that has like a normal relationship with people in his life and appropriate boundaries.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Totes.
Sorry, Alice. All right.
Some uplifting advice.
Next call.
Hey, Malls. It's me, Danny. You follow me on Twitter. Thanks for the follow. I will tell you, I was kind of inspired by your podcast. I'm a little drunk right now. I just drank about an entire bottle of champagne. So I'm calling because, I'll be honest, I've listened to the podcast since the inception, and I think I really relate to your style of humor. I feel like we're like really similar, so I feel like you can help me out. I'm about to graduate in December, and I want to go into entertainment. I will say, I didn't know that you worked on Two Broke Girls until I listened to your podcast, and that's my favorite show, so I look up to you. So I'm just wondering if you could give advice for breaking into the entertainment industry. I want to go into radio. I've worked in radio before. I know I'm funny. I know I'm exciting. People like me, but I'm having trouble, like, getting that initial traction and making people, like, you know, fucking love me. So if you have any advice, I would really appreciate it. I think you're amazing. I love you. And thanks for listening. Hello?
Hi, Danny. It's Malls.
Hey. What's up, Malls?
How are you, hon?
I'm excellent. How are you?
I'm super hungover. I was at a wedding last night.
Me too.
Yeah. Oh, you
oh,
are?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I am. Yeah. It's my first week of the semester, so I drank a whole bottle of wine last night.
Oh, my God. I'm so proud of you. Perfect. I love college.
Thank you.
Say hi to our special guest, Laura Shane Hall. She's a New York Times bestselling author, so she's, like, really charismatic and successful.
Hey, Danny.
And I have your book.
No, really?
Yes,
love
I do.
That.
The first one. I don't have the
awesome.
Second one yet, but I'd love the first one.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well, you have to go buy that book and
yeah,
make it a New York
one.
Times best-selling book. It's like...
You'll love it. If you love
struggling.
The first one, you'll really love it.
I know. I'm excited to read it.
I'm excited for you to read it.
Okay. So, Danny, I'm going to ask you about your passion. You say you want to get into radio. What specific type of radio do you want to do?
I want to do, like, entertainment music radio, not, like, journalism radio. That's too boring, but I want to, like, make people laugh.
Okay, so you want to be, like Big Boy on Power 106?
Exactly.
Okay, all right.
Love that.
Okay, well, that's very cool. Well, you know, it's interesting because Laura and I were both just discussing that it's really hard to make it in any field, quote unquote, make it. I don't know what making it really is, but radio in particular seems really difficult, especially if you want that like drive time DJ spot,
right.
You know?
Yep.
But I'm not saying that to discourage you. I'm saying that because like, maybe we can do like a little reframing for you. So like we could get you like started on like a podcast. You should like definitely have a podcast going.
Mm-hmm.
You should
okay,
definitely.
Can I tell you?
Okay.
Can I tell you? I'm actually developing one right now with this girl I used to intern with.
Oh, fabulous. What's it about?
Yeah. It's kind of, we're coming from the angle of like love, sex, relationship, but like really like nitty gritty. Like I feel like a lot of people that talk about that want to be really like PC, but we're just like going balls to the wall all in about it.
Okay. Love that.
Love
Scandal.
That. Is there a music element to this?
Not yet.
Maybe you should consider
there could
that.
Be.
You could play like breakup
That's
songs, like a breakup playlist or like specific songs for people and like, or relationship issues.
I like that. That's
I
a
like
good
that.
Idea.
That yeah, merges your too. Love of music and talking.
Right.
Yeah. But I think that it's really important for anyone who's just starting out. You know, like when I started on Twitter, I only had one follower too. I'm just like you, Danny. But I'm just kidding. But like, you know, I did everything when I first started. I blogged like all the time. I did YouTube videos that are completely embarrassing now, but like, I'm really glad that I did them. You know, I eventually like got around like 6 years into living in Los Angeles. I figured out that maybe I should write a script because that's what everyone else in this town was doing. And that's what led to the job on Two Broke Girls. But I am, and like the fact that I just love writing scripts now generally. But yeah, I think that you need to put yourself out there on as many platforms as you can. Like if you go to my blog, not to talk about me, but like go to my blog and look at my best of Mall She Wrote category and just look at all like the, or the about page, I don't know, something like that. There's like, you can see that I did like 50 different things before I did any, I never was doing like one thing. And I always had like 12 different possibilities going, even if like the chance of it working out was really slim. So like start two podcasts, like intern at your college radio station, if they have that, you know, start right. making YouTube videos, like reach out to more people, like the way that you reached out to me. That was a huge thing for me, was I would just like MySpace message comedians and be like, so how'd you make it? You know what I mean? And that I still like communicate. That's how I met Jordan Rubin, who has been like one of the most helpful people to me throughout my entire career. So, yeah, I don't know. Laura, do you have any advice?
I think that that's great. I think putting yourself out there is oftentimes the hardest and scariest part, is just like allowing people to kind of see you and like be vulnerable online to like haters and trolls. Mm-hmm. But that's how you learn what works right. and what doesn't work. Like you will get instantaneous feedback and you'll be able to kind of hone your voice and your humor and find what people like and find what you like. And you'll learn a lot about yourself. So just be brave.
That's real. That's yeah. real. And also another,
that's very real.
It's very real. And then another little note is that people know when they're being like lied to, or that they're like basically like that a person is faking something, like a personality trait or like a style.
Oh,
so like
right.
just be really true to who you are. Like speak in your own voice, like do work that you can defend, to, you know, obviously like step outside of your comfort zone. But like for the most part, you should be proud of the things that you do and be able to back them up. So while you should be trying a million different things, you should also just be very true to yourself and as Danny as possible, if you know what I mean.
Totally.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's something that I've been kind of like struggling to figure out. But I feel like maybe in the past like year or so, I'm finally sort of coming into like who I really am, you know?
That is definitely, that was around my, you know, you'll always be figuring out who you are, but it was my senior year of college that I think I really started to like write and understand my voice the way that I, you know, do now. Like that was around that time. So it doesn't seem wrong. I mean, you're constantly using your brain in school. So, and also hun, please enjoy those days that you're living now of being able to drink a bottle of wine a night, because mama can't do that right. anymore. I'm getting fat. Like, it's gross. I get to hire a trainer.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
Danny. It all turns just on you eventually.
My skin is, like, falling off
really?
In chunks.
It's not even much. It's just, like, a skeleton that's here podcasting.
Oh, yeah. You know, everybody's been saying that, and I'm actually graduating in December, and I feel like now is when I'm finally starting to like realize, like, yeah, it's actually coming to an end. So I'm definitely working on that too.
Oh yeah, yeah. Enjoy, live it up.
That is something that all creepy old people say to college kids: enjoy it, enjoy it.
Because I was just thinking,
I am enjoying it.
Yeah, but I was just thinking, like last week, I would kill someone to be able to just go back to like a college schedule for like a week and just like roll out of bed and go to class at 11.
Yeah,
like
right,
or like so not even go to class.
Not even go to class. I didn't even like schedule classes on Friday for like the entire college career. I was like, love
me this. Too.
Yeah, no, who needs it? Friday was part of the weekend.
Do you want to know a secret, Danny? It's not really a secret, but I didn't read one book in college.
Really?
Yeah, I would just like,
did you just clip like, notes it?
Yeah, no, I would just fake my way through on everything. And Like, I'm kind of like Frank Abagnale from Catch Me If You Can. No, I'm not. Like, I'm not like that. But I just am a slacker and I didn't do anything. So, like, I just, you know, I'd like ask someone else and be like, so what was that book about? Okay, cool. Or like sometimes I'd watch the movie. But like, I didn't really usually even watch the movies. Okay. Well, now that I've inspired you, is there any more questions you have? Are there any more? Is there any more?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm wondering, how do you guys deal with, like, the haters and the detractors and the trolls? Because I feel like as I've sort of started to, like, become, like, a little bit more well-known, I'm, like, dealing with a lot more of that. And that is, like, to me, is, like, the worst part of it. Because I feel like when I do put myself out there, there's a lot of positivity, but there's also a lot of negativity that's thrown right back in my face, you know?
Yeah, well, okay, so I think Candy on Real Housewives of Atlanta said it best, and you gotta fly above your haters, and you just gotta...
I love that song.
Yeah, I know, it's so fucking good. Love that song. But no, like, you know, I don't know. I get my feelings hurt when I read comments sometimes, like on posts that I write. I'm like, why would they say that about me? But I don't know, like, you know, whatever. Just ignore it. People are assholes. What do you know?
Yeah. Like, I think ignore it or find a way to laugh at it, because I just kind of get a kick out of people saying mean things.
Yeah.
Like once someone, I did like a Babe Walker video on YouTube and someone commented that my voice sounded fat, which I thought was very clever.
That's amazing.
I was like, cool. Yeah. So I kind of like it that people, I mean, if haters care, obviously.
Yeah.
Or else they wouldn't be like taking time out of their schedule to like comment on your shit. So every reaction is a, you can loll at it.
Yeah.
Or you can like cry about it, but better to loll.
Oh, and also if you haven't seen Private Parts, the Howard Stern movie.
Totally see that.
That's it's a really inspirational movie about radio and like being yourself, and he has a lot of haters, and like there's an interesting like statistic in there, like the director of the radio station was saying something about how the people who hate Howard listen to his entire show versus the people who love him, they just listen to like 3/4 of it, and the reason why is like they want to see what he'll say next. So your haters are actually oftentimes your biggest supporters. Like look at Julia Allison, you know. She's still relevant because so many people hate her. I'm obsessed with talking about, you don't know who that is, do you?
Is that the girl that married herself?
No.
Yeah, she married herself at Burning Man.
Is she already married? Did she get married already to herself?
I don't know if Burning Man has happened yet. Danny, do you know if Burning Man
is happening now?
Oh, it's happening right now.
I don't know.
It's currently happening.
I've been on vacation, so I haven't really been able to check up on her, but I don't know why I'm so obsessed with, I'm keeping Julia Allison alive right now just because
Ryan.
I have, yeah.
You and Ryan O'Connell.
You
Ryan O'Connell told me he doesn't know who she, like, he's
oh,
like,
he
he's
knows
like,
who she is.
He was like, that's the difference in our age, I guess. He said that to me the other day at brunch, and I was like, you have blood on your hands. So, okay, hon, Danny, have so much fun, and, like, go, you know, fuck someone for me.
Of course, with pleasure.
All right.
Bye, Danny.
Send me a link to your
podcast.
Thank
you guys so much. I really... You what?
Send me a link to your podcast.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, we're hopefully putting it up sometime in September, so I'll definitely send you a link.
Cheek.
Bye. Bye, hon.
Bye.
Thank you, guys. This means so much to me. Have a great night.
Oh,
you too.
Bye. Okay, so we got some letters. You know, I only like my letters scandalous. I haven't read any of the letters this week. Lara's going to read them out loud for me because I don't want to read out loud today. That's not really my journey. And yeah, I don't know. Like, I guess you guys aren't really getting it. Something's not clicking. I'm not sure if this letter is about being incested or not, but I've told you that I only want incest level drama or higher. And you know, we'll continue to take your letters, I guess, because that's the best we can do right now. But, like, I need to hear from more survivors or people who are, like, struggling with something. Anyway, Laura, just read the letter.
Okay, I'm going to take it from here. You set the bar really high, P.S. You're really holding people accountable for drama. I love that about you. Okay, here we go. Hi, Malls. So, I know written questions are reserved for incest, but I couldn't... She gets it.
No.
But I couldn't risk putting my voice out there and having one of my boyfriend's friends hear this and tell him, because I think he'd def go bonkers if he knew I asked this. The backstory is, my boyfriend and I have been together for a little over a year, and I'm definitely in love with him. He's definitely everything I've been looking for in a guy in every category except one, which I'm sure is obvious. The sex is just fine. I know the reason has to do with his anxiety problems and probably something to do with growing up Catholic, but he's very inhibited, and if things aren't just so, he'll get nervous or have a panic attack. I think I basically tried everything to get him out of his shell. I've tried to sext him, and he, quote, doesn't know what to say back, unquote. We've gone to sex stores and bought handcuffs, which I tried to then use spontaneously when we were just drunk enough, and he chickened out. We basically keep it to the bedroom, and it's very predictable and paint by numbers. The one thing that gives me hope is that during a short period when we were long distance, we'd sexed all the time, and he was really filthy in a way that I was very excited by, and he said he'd never been that way with anyone before. But then, once we were reunited, he hasn't been able to get back to that place. This is definitely an ongoing issue, and he knows how unsatisfied I am, partially because we've talked about it a lot, and partially because I think someone broke up with him over it in the past. I try and be encouraging while still voicing my needs, and I reassure him that I wouldn't give up on him for it, but secretly I do get really a little depressed about it sometimes. So I guess the question is, what are your thoughts? Do you think this could get better as time goes on, or if not, can I learn to care about ever not having great sex again? And also, how depressing is it that the best sex of my life was when I was 16 and back then I thought it could only get better? Thanks, Malls.
Oh, boy.
Fuck.
What do you think, girl?
I have a lot to say about this. Okay. Sex is one of the most important parts of a relationship with anyone. I'm also just like, first may I just say I'm blown away that you had good sex when you were 16. It's like, how on earth did that happen? Like, can you just refer that whoever you were fucking, like, have him write in and, like, leave us his phone number? Because, girl,
like good pizza.
16 years old. I was having a lot of sex, but, like, none of it was good.
I was totally a virgin.
So
training day in the theater 7 times. Like 10.
So, first and foremost, like, congratulations on that. It might not get better than that. TBH. But yeah. Okay, so sex is the most important part, one of the most important parts of a relationship. And I think it's good that you're really patient with your boyfriend. That is so key. And like being very sensitive to like not make him feel bad about the anxiety issues and like the sex issues, because obviously I think he probably already does feel kind of bad because he knows that you're like sexual and sexy and like want to have fun and be like flirty and like adventurous. So congrats to you also on being like chill with him about it. But I think just taking baby steps is honestly the best option. And then also, if you have the chance to like go out of town again for an extended period of time and then just like sexed up each other, that could really work for you.
Yeah.
That worked before. And then you can just be, even if it's like you're apart for a couple days and you're like texting him like pictures of your panties and stuff like that, that could help things out. But I think just like it's a long haul. It's going to be a long haul, and you're going to have to be cool with like taking it slow and like building him up. And you might have to just accept eventually that he's just not that sexual of a person. And then you either decide if you're okay with that or if you're not. And it's okay if you're not okay with that, because that's your journey and your prerogative. But
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I think the Catholic thing is real. Like, I'm Catholic. I also am like, you know, like I get nervous about sexting too. I'm like, oh, is this like a sexy thing to say? I never know what to say about stuff like that. Like, there's certain things in your letter that I was like, oh, okay. Like, I understand like why not everyone is down to do that. Like, they're just not sexually compatible. But yeah, I do think that he needs to talk to someone, because if this is like, you know, as his partner, it's your job to kind of like help him out as much as you can and not just expect him to like know how to do everything on his own. And I think that you should suggest to him that he speaks to someone because that can't be fun for him. Like, that has to be something. I mean, guys are, I've never heard of a guy that's like not that sexual of a person. Do you know?
Some guys aren't, though.
I guess so.
Some guys just aren't that sexual, and their tastes are just like pretty vanilla, and they're cool with just like some missionary and then like snuggle time.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely, if it goes beyond just like his tastes just aren't aligned with your taste and it's more of like an anxiety or like performance issue, then yeah, he should definitely talk to someone, because that's totally fixable. And like, then you guys can get to like a really fun flirty place.
Yeah.
I think the worst thing you can do, which is what happened to me when I dated someone who was like sexually challenged, is get really drunk and then like attack them and like try and like fuck the shit out of them, because then they'll just get really freaked out. And then that makes them even more nervous.
You want to, that, what does that accomplish?
It didn't accomplish much.
Oh, okay.
No, it was like, I got too aggressive in like a blackout state and was like biting and like trying to like really turn them on through like biting and like aggressive sexual acts. And they were not, he was like not soothed.
Okay.
He was like unsoothed. Then it turned into like a him having to like sternly tell me that he did not want me to bite him anymore. And then I was like, fine, and went to sleep. Then we had a fight. So it was not, don't do that. Whatever you do, don't do that. Just keep being chill and like not getting too drunk and acting out from a place of like your drunken sex goddess.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Especially if you think you're going to marry this guy. Like, you, like, he has to talk to someone.
Yeah.
You should probably even go together.
If like, you're in it for the long haul,
yeah,
then like, totally. Just like, give it a few years.
She's young though, right? We think she's what? We think she's 26?
Yeah.
Yeah, hun. We'll see how that goes.
You can also just move on.
Yeah.
Honestly, yeah. If you don't think you're going to be with this person for a long time, get out and find someone who wants to, like, get blown in public.
Right, totally. I think that that's, you know, I mean, you could do, like, what Dan Savage would do. Like, he'd say, like, ask him if he wants an open relationship. I would shut that the fuck down if someone asked me that. I'd be like,
I feel like if someone asked me that, I'd be like, do you want to break up? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but, you know, if he's not down to sexually satisfy you, gross. And, like, you, I don't know.
That's just, like, one of the most fun things, I think, about dating someone monogamously is that you have really fun, adventurous sex and, like, do things. It's like an intimacy level where you're just free to do things that you've never like done before.
A satisfying and, like, explore. Physical connection.
Yeah. So you got to get that worked out. But it seems like you're patient and like willing to just keep at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Proud of you, girl.
Mm-hmm. Fight the good fight.
Yeah, fight the good fight.
Yeah.
So you guys know by now, if you don't know, you should know that every single week I pick my favorite caller or letter writer, incest survivor, and I send them a song that costs $1.29 on iTunes. Like, is like, I want to send you like the expensive songs, you know, and I'm going to pick it out for you. And then we also pick someone who faves us or no retweets us on Twitter. I'm sorry, like, I'm not giving you a song that costs $1.29 for a fave, like or reblogs us on Tumblr, please advise at tumblr.com, or rates us on iTunes with 5 stars and like a positive review. I will like randomly select, aka Chrissy the friend turn, will probably just like pick one of you and send you a song of our my choosing, I guess. Yeah, I guess it's my show, so I would be the one who picks. Sorry, you guys, I just put my shoes on outside.
Your show, your song.
Yeah, let's just take calls from now on.
Hey, Malls. This is Carly. I love you guys, by the way, P.S. I won't sue you. I actually am a lawyer, but I won't sue you. I promise, because I think you're fucking awesome. I am in a dilemma because I had this girlfriend for 4 years, and she sucked, but I loved her. And she left me for, like, one of my best friends who's, like, a total loser lady, and she sucks. so bad. And she's like, the town whore who screwed everyone. And so she broke my heart, left me in pieces, left me in our house with our dogs in this fucking awesome new neighborhood that we just moved into. I'm just so pissed about it, and I can't get over it, and I don't know what to do. And now it's like suddenly all of our friends are trying to, like, holler at me, and I just can't fucking handle it because I don't think it's, like, normal to date people in a circle of friends, and especially when all the friends have, like, screwed each other. I mean, is that normal? Is it weird that I'm, like, totally reluctant to do that? Or is that totally a normal thing and I should just get over it and just go out there and, like, bang? I don't know what to do. I'm having trouble getting back out there and need some, like, oomph or something to push me, because being single at 28 for the first time since I was, like, 16 is totally weird. And I don't know how to do it. And I'm like, should I make a match.com thing? Should I, like, go on the internet? Should I just throw myself into the lesbian bars? I'm totally uncomfortable in that scene. I don't know what to do. Please advise. Thanks.
Okay, Carly. So just, like, I think right now my advice is, I've listened to you. Kind of like I'm reading between the lines. Like, I think that you might not know it yet, but this is like your growing period, because you said something. You were like, I'm single for the first time at 28 since I was like 16. And that's like actually what like my exact situation was. And then I was like dreadfully single for like 2 years. And I thought it was like, you know, I didn't like mind it. I thought it was like a really like, okay, like, but yeah, it was like a bummer because I like, I feel like I kind of was like removing myself from the dating pool for a while. And yeah, so basically what I'm trying to say is that I think that like the reason why that naturally happened to me was that I needed to not be in a relationship and like not thinking about guys and like not, you know, pouring my time into like shit like that. And it was necessary for me. So I don't know. I mean, like, you said you're a lawyer, I think, right? So, like, that's, like, you already have, like, a cool career going on. So, but, like, maybe there's, like, more ways you can grow in your own life and, like, figure out who Carly is. Because, it like, your life is going to change so much in the next, like, 2 years. Every year in your 20s means a lot. So I don't know, whatever. Laura, what do you think?
From the get-go, I could tell by the kind of like Beavis and Butthead-ish laugh, like starting off the call, that things were complicated and you're in like a bit of a dark place. And I relate and also understand very much. And one thing that stuck out to me was that you said that this girl, you would do anything for her, and she like broke you in the worst way possible. But I just have to like give kind of a harsh yet friendly reality check that you allowed that. You allowed yourself to be broken.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that goes with like kind of that. I just let people do that to me too. Like I find them to be like really common.
Yeah.
That was a lot of my relationships in my 20s where mm-hmm. I was like, take advantage of me, like emotionally take advantage of me. I don't care.
And like I'll do whatever it takes. Like I just want you to be happy, like at whatever cost to myself. But you allow someone to do that to you. So now I think is the time where you kind of like collect yourself again and say, how are you going to do things differently in your next relationship? Where if you notice those same patterns with someone you're dating, you get the fuck out and like don't put yourself in that position again. And this will end up actually being a fun time for you because now you get to be free and just like Carly gets to do Carly and Carly's life, Carly's rules. So
Carl, you should get that, like...
You should def hook up with the hot les that just moved in with you. I, like, highly abide that. Wait, hopefully her lease is, like, temporary just in case go down.
She's gonna... No, fuck that bitch.
But yeah, but, like, get it.
Wait,
like,
but Carly... What did you say? What happens in Carly... Wait.
Carly's life, Carly's rules.
Okay, I want her to get... Carly, here's a decision I'm making for you in your new single life. I want you to have that made into like a car decal and put that in your back window of your car if you live in a city with a vehicle. Because like I think that would be like kind of cool.
Yeah. And I also, you're like, it's weird to me that you're shocked by the fact that, like, all your friends are hitting you up and you're, like, forced to date within your friend circle because, like,
yeah.
Pardon me if I'm wrong, but I just thought that that's, like, kind of, like, the lesbian way of life a little bit. So, yeah. I mean, I feel like you're, like, lucky in that aspect where it's just, like, people are coming and running.
Yeah.
Because on this side of the gay equator, that ain't the case.
The gay equator.
But,
you know, yeah, I mean, it's, like, a stereotype, right? I mean, that's what that episode of Sex and the City was about, with, like, all those power lesbians that Samantha got involved with.
It was Charlotte.
Like, oh, Charlotte. That's right. Good call,
pussy or not.
Oh, Samantha was a lesbian with that.
With Maria.
Maria. Okay.
Yeah, but she missed Dick. Oh, honey.
I actually knew that you beat Ed in Sex and the City trivia, right?
Yeah, we both scored around the same, but we got beaten by this other girl that just, like, snaked her way in and quietly knew everything.
Fuck.
But, like, Ed and I
hate bitch like that.
I know. She was, like, low-key, not even, like, celebrating her wins. And then all of a sudden, like, Ed and I were really, like, thinking we were so flying, gonna, like, just take the prize.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden she won the game and it was
over.
Do
you think she, like, lays at home at night and, like, cries and watches Sex and the City, like, every day?
That's what I would say.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, you're in a good position because you're just getting, like, hit up. So I think if your body calls you to just, like, hook up with, like, your friends,
Carly's life, Carly's rules. No, I totally agree. Yeah. I think that you should just, like, fuck everyone, girl.
Yeah.
No, but, like, make your decisions.
And reinforce your soul right now.
This is your, like, Vanderpump Rules moment. Do you agree?
What does that mean?
Because all of them, like, date each other. They're, like, young and free.
Mm-hmm. No, they are actually, like, bound by the shackles.
Yeah, I know.
Lisa and Ken. The darkest thing is that they still have to work at that restaurant.
Do you think they're, like,
contractually? They all still work there.
That's right.
Got confirmed on my lunch date with Peter.
Well, Stassi doesn't, because she dates a SiriusXM radio host in New York.
Does she?
Yeah, she's, like, a sports talk radio
host. But she's back for season 3, and
she got assigned
a shift or two.
Sweet. She's back in?
Yeah, she's in. She had to come back from New York. She's, like, over it and trying to move on, but you can't escape the clutches.
Where are you getting this information?
Honey, I went on the Tinder date with Peter.
And
then I got the scoop.
Girl.
All the drama is real.
I guess
it's all real.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's real. I don't know. That bums me out, man, just because, like.
He says he and Stassi are the most likable ones.
Yeah, I feel like
I think Peter's
definitely, like, the most likable.
Yeah, he's a likable guy.
I actually think you guys would be a cute couple. But
I think he was just networking. I don't think he was that into me. He did not like my choice of restaurant.
What did you pick?
I picked Sycamore Kitchen.
I don't know what that is, but he probably made, honey, you know,
it's
he
like
has
a,
like,
lunchy vibe. He wanted a place with booze.
This didn't
have booze. It was, like, more of an iced coffee salad journey.
They never, ever not drink in
no,
a scene
they
on
are,
that show.
They're booze hounds, which is great, which I'm not saying I'm not, but I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking.
No, it's easier to judge it when it's them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. It's like, no, dude, your life is a fucking disaster.
But, like,
and
kind
you're
of,
drunk at noon.
Yeah. But, like, are their lives disasters? No, they're, like, really building their personal brands. Peter's, like, writing and producing. Katie has, like, a beauty blog.
She does?
Yeah. She has, like, a beauty blog.
I want to know why Katie and Stassi gave up on their burlesque careers.
I didn't know that they were ever really happening.
I just thought they shouldn't have quit their lessons.
I want Sheena to release an album. Sheena, if you're listening.
One. Oh, like, yeah. because she just has singles.
I think she just has singles.
Yeah. But, like, I read that there was no drama at her wedding in Touch.
There needed to be drama. I feel like season 3 is going to be a no drama season. And I hate that for Pump Rules.
I love that show so much.
God, I fucking love them. I know. They're my fucking heroes.
That's true. Why don't I talk about them more? I should be.
I mean, I think you could do like a spin-off podcast that's just like Pump Rules.
Girl, I want you to have that. I want you to have a video diary.
I just like want everyone on Pump Rules to thrive and be the change they wish to see in the world.
So are they like just contractually obligated to?
I want the cast of Pump Rules to just like Gandhi it out. Which they kind of are already, but like even more so. Break free of the shackles of... Sir, the sexy unique restaurant we've all come to know and love. And I just need them to like spread their wings and prepare to fly. They're doing it though.
Wait.
I joke, but I really do like love them so much.
No, I love them so much.
They give me life.
Well, yeah, I think Ariana has the most like wits about her. Like I think she's gonna like get something going long.
Do you think she's the breakout star, low key?
In a weird way. Like, okay. I think she will have, like, she could have a sustainable lifestyle brand a la Teresa Giudice.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, obvious. I mean, she's not like Lauren Conrad, like you, but, like, she
might. Still don't know how to feel about that.
Why?
I don't know how to feel about it. I just have, like, Elsie, like. I don't know.
I don't like her attitude.
I don't like her attitude.
Yeah, no, I have no respect for her attitude, but I will say that she's a beautiful girl.
Okay, I'll take
woman.
That.
Woman. I'll see
she's
as a
goddess.
Woman.
Yeah. A fellow goddess.
She's a queen. She's a mermaid. Mm-hmm. She's a mermaid on land.
Okay. Ariana did have that powerful braid on the season two reunion that really blew my mind.
I'm like,
so
does this bitch
like
go to Braid Bar every day? Like, you know she's, like, up at Braid Bar before her shift, but, like, only on the days where she's going to be on camera.
It was, like, a Blake Lively ponytail braid.
Yeah.
With a deep V.
Yeah. She had a lot of, like, she had a lot of braid styles.
Yeah. It was, like, a short, it was, like, a, she wore, like, a suit, but it was, like, a blazer and a pair of shorts.
She's,
not braid.
She makes very interesting decisions, and I like that she's kind of, like, has, like, a hipster vibe to her, but, like, she's so not because she works at Villa Blanca and Sir.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to see Ariana shit-face the little joy at, like, you know what I mean? Not, like... I bet she goes to, like, Hyde. Is that club still open?
I think it is, but I think they go to the Den in Hollywood a lot. Ed and I saw Sandoval there.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you think it'd be fun to date Sandoval?
No. I feel like he'd be, because he's so, like, affable, and, like, you know he'd be, like...
And he's kind of into girly stuff, so I feel like you could even go get, like, pedicures with him.
No, he would definitely do that.
Yeah.
Kristen, like, he bent over backwards for her, you know? He really did.
Ugh.
And she raw-dogged fucking Jax on the couch.
They had no sex, or no kiss sex on the couch. We shouldn't laugh because it's dark, but when in Sir.
I know. Well, because remember when Tom confronted Jax on the beach and was like, did you use condoms?
And he was like, no.
And he was like, one time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, as in, like, one out of the, like no.
Did he clarify it was the first time or the second time? I feel like the first, did he clarify or no?
I don't know, but, like, I want to know why Tom looked so, like...
devastated?
Like, yeah. Because, like...
Tom
like,
got a blood panel shortly thereafter.
Oh, yeah. I was like, do you think it's because of STDs, or do you think, like, Tom was so emotionally attached to Kristen that he couldn't, like, deal with, like, an unwrapped penis being inside of her?
Honestly, I think it's STDs.
Yeah.
Just a
well,
fear.
Jax for sure has
fear.
Herpes, yeah.
You think so?
100%.
Loud and clear.
My therapist told me that she knows prostitutes that don't have HPV, but for some reason, I look at Jax and I just see.
There's something going on down south.
He's had, you know, he's had like probably like chlamydia a bunch of times.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he's had like incurable stuff and he's probably a carrier of HPV.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's a carrier. Carries HPV.
Sure. Yeah.
But I mean, who doesn't these days?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I was again, I'll say it again. I was shocked when the doctor told me I didn't have HPV.
Yeah.
I was like, me? Are you sure? Not because I've done, I just like, I assume I'm unlucky like that. Like, I don't even think I've done that many things. I don't, you know, whatever. Jax probably has herpes.
Yeah.
Should we
but like, hopefully he doesn't.
Oh, so wait. Sake. So Carly, this was about you.
Yeah, wait. How do we like wrap it up in a nice way that speaks to Carly's journey?
Carly's world, Carly's rules.
Carly's world, Carly's rules. And also just be careful in a mutual masturbation scenario.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
On your sex, on Carly's sex tour 2014 to 15, be mindful of HPV jumping from one person's genitals to yours via.
But you're like a catch girl. Like, I feel like she's going to get some sort of like serious girlfriend or whatever.
You're a lawyer, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
You've got it going on. I mean, even if you're like a first year associate, your life probably sucks right now, but eventually you're going to be like raking it in.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm texting my boyfriend. He says he loves me more. Oh, that's sad. Carly's like single. And I'm saying that to her. Carly.
That was a pimp. Don't pimp Carly like that.
I know.
That.
Sorry, girl.
She's shade. Going through it.
I'm not trying to throw shade in your direction. All right, honey. Next.
Get broken again.
Yeah.
Don't let someone break you again. You control your break.
Own it.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to episode 12, we got a call from the most cheerful widow that I've ever heard from. She's a very strong, brave woman named Andrea, who I'm like kind of obsessed with now. She like moved me to tears a little bit. We all knew I was going to cry on this podcast at some point. We just didn't know when. And that was that. So we have an update from her this week. Let's listen.
Hey, Malls. It's Andrea, the widow from Chicago. So exciting to hear your advice. I totally agree with everything you had to say. You guys are awesome. I'm also obsessed with you and would love to hang out with you whenever you're in Chicago or I'm in LA. Super excited about the song you're going to send me, but just so you know, I don't know how to get it because I'm like troglodytic and old and have like just recently discovered podcasts, and obviously you know my sitch on online dating, but hopefully you can get it to me. Maybe you can like sing it to me over the phone. I don't know. Anyway, super, super excited to hear from you. Hope I hear from you soon. Call me. Love you to pieces. Want to get a drink with you. Literally, I'll drink anything that's wet and want to do that ASAP. Love you.
Love that call. Lara, isn't she like so fun sounding?
That's amazing. Honestly, Andrea, I got your whole backstory like pre-update. And I just have to say, like, can you bottle your positivity and sell it? Because I will pay. Oh. I will pay good money for that.
Yeah, that's
real. You're just,
she
like,
has the best outlook.
Honestly. I'm amazed.
She sounds really, like, you sound really fun.
And fun, yeah. And Chicago. Yeah. I love Chicago.
You have good energy, girl.
Really good energy that, like, radiates through all the wires and, like, all the way from Chicago to L.A.
People from Chicago usually have pretty good energy, though, don't you think?
They do. They're fun. And yeah. I love the phrase, I will drink anything that's wet.
Oh, that's
which is, like, incredible. About to be my new, like, slogan. And it's such a Chicago thing, too, because let's face it, Chicagoans love the booze.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's cold.
Yeah. And they're booze hounds, and not in, like, a weird Vanderpump Rules way, but in, like, just, like, a serious, like, communal, fun way.
Do you think it is? Do you think it is because of the weather, how much Chicago people love to drink?
Absolutely. Because, like, okay, it's like I'll break it
Irish
down.
Irish people have alcoholism in their DNA because they need to like stay warm to survive.
Yeah, because Chicago, you have 3 months of warm, beautiful, fun, flirty weather, and so you want to drink to celebrate that yeah. with your friends. And then you have 9 months of the worst weather ever, and so you need to drink to deal with that with your friends.
Yeah,
so it just turns into your consistently blackout 24/7.
I love that.
Yeah. I love that about
Chicago.
I've
never been there.
Oh, it's so fun.
I know.
You would thrive.
Derek and I said we were going to go soon. I actually,
you need to do a drunk history. There needs to be like some sort of drunk history. Did they do one?
No, but like we're going to like take a trip.
You need to do a trip too.
People.
Yeah.
And we're going to stay in one hotel.
One hotel?
Yeah. Do you want to know why? No, I'm telling you, because every time Derek and I go on a trip, we stay in a different hotel room, like basically every night. And we just took a 2-week vacation and we stayed in, I think it was like 10 places.
10 different nights, 10 different hotel rooms.
No, there was just like, there was like, we had four nights or two nights in New York, the same hotel. And then we had a courtyard Marriott, which was like with the balcony, which no, in the place we were, it was very good.
I love a courtyard Marriott.
It was actually killing it.
Courtyard Marriott gets actually a shout out in Psychos.
Oh, it does? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, I just have to tell you, I kind of do love that hotel. I had a really good experience there in Baltimore over Christmas. Mm-hmm. Derek got really fucking sick, and I basically was like feeding him ramen noodles, like. He couldn't, like, function as a human. And, like, Mitch at the desk, she was this, like, awesome woman who had, like...
Her name was Mitch?
Mitch. I mean, that just kind of says it all. She just, like, kind of, like, killed it on the last day. You know? And she, she was like, don't let him drink dairy. Like, every day she would, like, yell at me. But, like, it was with love because she was, like, a mom. We were there. I felt like we were there forever. But we were so happy to be there.
Courtyard Marriott, you get that, like, upscale Marriott vibe. But with a courtyard casual feel.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
I do love a casual feel. Like,
mm-hmm.
But, you know, I like other things, too. Andrea, well, I guess what I'm saying to you is that...
When you go to Chicago... You'll be hitting Andrea up.
I will.
Getting some of that positivity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Andrea. My shoes are kicking in. I'm feeling pretty good right now. All right. Love you, girl. Bye.
Bye.
All right. That's it for episode 13 of Please Advise. Thank you, Laura Shane Halls. I called you Lauren. You look so much like Lauren Conrad. That's...
like an ongoing thing. Laura Shane Hall about Laura.
I know. No, yeah. I just have never seen it. I know.
It's okay.
Girl, you know, I know your name. I just I was thinking of how you taught me how to pronounce your last name today. Will you tell everyone at home how to pronounce it?
Yeah, I will. Everyone, listen up. So my last name looks like it should be pronounced Schoenhals, and it really is like a brain buster for people that encounter it first timers.
Yeah.
So what I always say is that you should think of Shane West and then walking down the halls and then just like put those two thoughts together and then you get Schoenhals. That's my last name.
I love that, girl. I love that so much. I love Shane West. And then, like,
who doesn't?
Just picturing him walking down the hall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's cool.
And then you get me.
That's a really great way to explain it. I feel like I spend most of my life spelling my name out loud to people.
Yeah.
Because they're like E-A-R.
And you're like, no. Double E. Double E.
No, it's M-C. Oh, we had M-A-C. Wait. No. Yeah. No. It's yeah.
Wait, how do you say it?
It's not clear.
No, I know how you say it. But I mean, like, how do you, like, spell it to people?
M-C-A-L-E-E-R.
Okay. I always learn because I listen to my mom spell on the phone. And so when I was little, it would be S-C-H-O-E-N-H-A-L-S. And that's like that was like how you spell it to newbies. Noobs, if you will.
Girl, that's so real. That's such a cellular memory moment that mm-hmm. you like remember your mom doing. Like, that's so real.
Mm-hmm.
My mom, yeah, that's right. I don't know my mom's nuanced thing, but I remember like pretty much everything she did when I was growing up was like too specific for me. Like, I just was like, man.
You're over it.
I guess so. I mean, we were in the house a lot. Like together. I mean, we lived together, so.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was a child and she was my
mom. Is it just you? Are you an only child?
Yeah.
I love that about you.
Single parent. So we're like.
You're in it to win it.
around each other a lot.
You're like J Love Hewitt and Sigourney and Heartbreakers.
Yeah. Yeah. I love my mom. All right. I don't know why the fuck we're talking about this. You guys, please call with more questions and your updates at 323-450-7408. Email askpleaseadvise@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, SoundCloud, of course, soundcloud.com/pleaseadvise. We're on Instagram. We post pics from the episode. I don't think I could take one today of myself because my face is falling off in chunks, as I've explained to you. And we're on, like, you know,
you should Tumblr. Just take a pic of your glasses.
Yeah, I'll just take
the Tom Fords.
Yeah. Get past me my Tom Fords.
Can you pass me my Tom Fords?
That's what I say now.
Mm-hmm.
Where are my Tom Fords? All right. All right. Bye, you guys. Oh, wait.
What?
You have to do your rant.
Oh, my, like, free advice?
Your free advice.
Okay. Listen up, because it's been a hard journey this past tax season. Mm-hmm. If you're making money now, if your parents give you money, if you have like an inheritance, whatever your financial journey may be, I highly advise to start saving, like just even like a percentage of it now and putting it away for later in life when you like get flying fabulous and like make money independently and then get slapped with a tax bill, because that day is coming, and I never thought I'd be like a stick in the mud that's going to tell you to save, because I fully believe in like blinging out, but you need that money in your savings account. So just save money, like a little bit here and there, and you'll really thank yourself later. And yeah, trust, this is like coming from a very real place.
That is the realest.
Of just wanting to share with you.
I'm panicking about money all the time.
Yeah. And guess what? If I had, like, really paid attention,
mm-hmm,
I wouldn't have to be panicking now. And, like, shading myself at 30 years old that I'm, like,
yeah,
you know.
But, girl, things are going to happen.
Oh, things are happening consistently. But I'm just
all
saying,
day,
like,
every day.
All day, every day.
But I know. But it's true. If but you could true. Go back and, like, have saved your, like, just remembered that thing that everyone has been saying to you your whole life.
It's one of those things that you're just like, fuck you. That's so boring and weird to even talk about to me right now.
I know.
And then you're like, later on, you're like, wait, that wasn't that weird. It was actually like sage
but
advice.
People
and you're
are
just like,
save
oh.
your money. And I'm
and
like,
you're like,
okay.
Fuck you. Anyways, gonna go fucking spend $80 on a dinner.
It sounds like take cheese before, say cheese before you take a picture or something. You know what I mean? Like, it just sounds, it's like, it almost seems traditional when people say save your money.
Or people that are like, enjoy your college years because it's all downhill from here.
Exactly.
And then you're like, whatever, you old fogey, like, fuck off. And then like later you wake up and you're like, wait, I wish I was back in college.
I know.
So, yeah, anyways,
so wait,
that's it.
Should we pick Danny
for the 129?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it. I think that's natural and organic.
Yeah, Danny, you're fun.
Yeah. You're kicky.
Yeah, I like you.
Mm-hmm.
Excited for your personal brand to emerge.
Me too. I'm excited for his podcast.
I know. It's going to be good.
Yeah.
You're going to approach sex in a unique way, a way that sex and body has never been approached before. Mm-hmm. They're going to be in like the sex and relationships section of iTunes, don't you think?
That's real.
I'm going to explore that section. I want to know.
Mm-hmm. It's right. Like a Dan Savage 2.0.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I feel it. So, yeah, Danny, this one's for you.
Proud of you.
Love you. Bye.